Super Fantasy Football Show.
Come back down to Planet Rando, Brian.
Oh my gosh, a domestic abuser.
What is it? He just sent a dick pic to Jerry. What are you? A perp or something?
Are you too busy to put your blackout dates on the Google Doc? I'm 1,000% sure you and your little butt buddy Randy have already talked about this, so.
Never. We would never
collude. You fucking canoodling.
No collusion.
We would
no
never collude, John.
Tyreek Hill. Stephon Diggs. It's going to be probably the widest margin victory. I mean.
Hey, Matt, shrimp out of landlocked state, sign me up.
I don't think Randy's going to have a first round pick the entire decade of the 2020.
That's a guy that keeps his fall free. He knows it's football season.
Right.
And, you know, what's up with some of these people planning trips to Italy during football season?
Welcome back to a Super Fantasy Football Show. I'm John.
And I'm Randy.
And we have who, Randy?
We are live with the general manager, team owner of Hawktua, Matthew James Didiano.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Happy to be back on the pod.
Welcome on the pod. We're so happy to have you here. Sorry to have you under such circumstances, though. I'd love to get you on a high note one of these seasons, but Matt, it seems like every year, once again, same script. What's going on with the Hawktuas?
Well, you know what? I'm not even sure that it's a matter of putting the right team on the field at this point in time. I think you just have, if the Bad News Bears sucked at the end of the movie also, that is what my team looks like. There is no redeeming qualities. No one's taken command of the team, including me. It's GM. Just disappointing overall. And as we were just rehashing, I ended my season last year, I think, on like 5 or 6 consecutive losses. So I'm starting to forget what a win tastes like here, gentlemen. It's been a rough year.
Man, that's tough. That's tough. You've had some close matchups, though. You've had some bad luck, some tough matchups. Definitely a team that can produce a spark, which always makes you scary to play. So I can give you that.
Yeah, I just, you know, Pacheco going out on injured reserve doesn't help anybody. Have had seemingly like 1-2 week injuries. I've not been bitten by the bug as bad as other teams that I can mention right now, but it has not been helpful. And yeah, ultimately the Dak Prescott trade was one. I think it might be the first trade I've made in 3 or 4 years in the league. I think maybe I made one last year that was like a temporary trade that was kind of returned to me at the end of the year. But other than that, yeah, not, I need to be more active in the trade board if this is the season we're going to have. I think we might be beyond hope, though.
Matthew, speaking of your trade history,
sure.
Is it true the rumor circulating around the league that you've only ever traded with Commissioner Glancy? Have you ever had a trade that was not with David?
Yes, I traded that trade that I just mentioned in my last statement, I believe was with the one, the only, Brian Flaherty.
Good partner to trade with.
Yeah, Brian's a great guy, great manager. You know, we see him continuously at the top of the league. I know that he doesn't do anything if there's no interest in it for himself, usually disproportionate. So, you know, I don't know if it was a good trade, but he's my friend and I stand by it.
Matt, listen, you may be in the basement, buddy, but you can get off your knees. You don't got to blow the dude.
Well, fantastic.
What did I just say? I haven't. Now, if that were to occur, then I think I might actually taste victory once more. That'd be close to being good.
Oh, man. Fantastic. Well, on that note, let's get to the recap of the games. Disclosure, we are recording this on Monday, so the games are not quite settled yet. Most of them are, I would say, but not quite all of them. So we won't do standings or anything like that. But we're going to go through the games to talk about who we think is going to finish this and, you know, concerns and so forth. So we'll start off with Hawktua. One of the games that's, I think, essentially over. 107.5-74 with only your kicker, Harrison Butker, left to play. Historic night for Harrison Butker. That'd be pretty crazy.
I don't know if it's ever Hey, Jamie, look up the highest score of a kicker in fantasy ever. Jamie, look that up. I don't know. That's just a reference to another podcast. Randy, get with it. Staring at me like I don't. Forrest Gump.
I was wondering who Jamie was. I thought you hired a little personal assistant over there.
No, he's just the production assistant for the most famous podcaster on the planet.
My apologies. Matt, you need 33 and a half points out of your kicker tonight to tie.
Yeah. Yeah. If he did that an extra points along, what is that? What's a pad kick worth?
Extra point is worth one. And then I think what's our highest now? Goes up to 6.5, I think. After the rule change, that could help you.
Matt just needs a bunch of 50-plus yard field goals.
Yeah, statistically, I think we're probably out of it, but you can't lose hope.
Yep.
Hope's all we have.
There's always a chance.
That's right. All right. Well, let's keep your fingers crossed, but I think you're going to be 0-5, and I think Altman and Sons Incorporated will increase to 2-3. And then let's move on to technical fouls versus Oink. This one's a little interesting. This one's very much in play, I would say.
This is the one I think it comes down to the wire tonight, Johnny.
Yep, 89.5 for the fouls to 83.5 for Oink. That's a 6-point difference. The fouls have Chris Olave and Kareem Hunt for Oink. So you don't love that if you're Oink, I think. But it's, you're in play. It could happen.
It's in play, especially with a struggling Chiefs offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly really hope it does. I would love for the technical fouls to lose because I think I'm going to lose this week, but we'll get to that later. But yeah, I do think between Chris Olave and Kareem Hunt, I think Chris Olave probably has the advantage there.
I'm going to agree with you on that.
Yeah. Okay, so if that happens, technical fouls 5-0 would stay in first place in the East, and Oink would be 2-3. And I don't know what place they would be in. Let's see what else. Randy, you want to talk about your game?
I'm pretty sure I'm out of it. The Running Fools are leading with 109 to my measly 72.5 points. I'm down 36.5 points, but I still have two players left to play, and that is Patrick Mahomes and Rashid Shaheed. I can't pronounce. Did I pronounce that right this week?
You did. That sounded great to me.
There's a chance, Johnny. I think it's very unlikely.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes has not been putting up big numbers this year. But if anyone can do it, it's him.
I would love to upset Brian and have it come down to the wire, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. With the lack of production from Mahomes, that puts you in jeopardy. And Rashid Shaheed, his name rhymes, dude. Have you ever named one other good guy on the planet whose name rhymes?
There isn't one. You can't.
I wouldn't put my hope in him, Randy. But I do have to ask this question. Speaking of lack of production, I don't know if this is just the world that I'm living in of scoring no points. Are points down this year? I would love a side-by-side. I feel like statistically people were scoring less. With the exception of Tom, maybe, with 140 on the board this week already.
I feel like it's a little more boom-bust this year than in years past. Because we've had a few high scores. I feel like 160-something is the highest this year, which is that's up there.
That's significant.
And then we've also had some, like, I feel like, what, 75 is the lowest this year, Randy, would you say?
Yeah. Jeez, I think 75 is, like, among my highest scores this year. So bad. Okay, so it is just me. Never mind.
Yeah. Well,
most likely after this, though, Johnny.
You've had a couple of decent weeks, too. But yeah, Rando, not loving your chances. Would love to see you do it, honestly. I hope that game is like 45-48 because that would really help me out, too. And I hope we both win our games. That'd be awesome. But we'll see. And then lastly, we'll go through my game. Denny Irvine leads 140 to 116.5 for the Iron City Oliphants. And all that's left to play is Alvin Kamara. So I need him to get 23 points, Randy? 24?
You need 23.5 points to tie, 24 to win.
All right.
Not on the roof.
And, John, ESPN states Alvin Kamara averages 23.6 points a game.
That's true. That most of that comes from the 142 point game. But
there's a chance.
It's out there. It's possible. You got 20 last week.
I don't want to bypass this week's game you got against Tom.
Mm-hmm.
But I want the stage to be set. I want you to get the win. I want you to beat Tommy this week. And then it's the battle of the podcast next week. Mm-hmm. You're undefeated against my sorry-ass shitty team.
Oh, man.
I want to be the one to dethrone you.
That would be perfect.
I want Tom to be the one. I want to be the one.
I have a shit ton of injuries now, too, so that would be perfect. If I win this week, oh, the drama. I would love it.
I'm going to say a prayer to the Jewish God and hope Alvin Kamara pulls one out for you tonight.
Is it, what, the Fonts and the Fowls are the undefeated teams this year?
Yep, as of now.
These contenders.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Well, I don't know. It's really annoying. What's really pissing me off is when I go to look at the technical fouls having 89.5 fucking points and, like, going to barely squeak out a win versus Oink, and then the undefeated Oliphants are putting up 116, you know, 120 points, you know. I don't know that they're quite on my level yet, and he's welcome to, you know, tell me what he thinks about that. Well, I think that's all the games, and we're not going to do standings this week because we don't know what they're going to be.
Yeah, I have to say, Monday puts us in a unique position to not have the games completed, so I do apologize for that. But again, thank you for making time and room for me on the pod. Happy to be here.
No, it's totally fine. I think it's kind of fun still having a couple games that aren't quite decided yet because that just makes it a little more interesting. Okay, well, now that we've got that out of the way, I'm honestly sick of talking about football, and we're going to take a quick dive into some real estate. So we are bringing to you now our newest segment, Closing Time, Real Talk from the Realtor, Matthew Didiano. Matthew, thank you for joining us on the pod.
Oh, happy to be here. I guess if I'm going to act like a professional, I will take this hat off,
please,
push my hair to the side, and push the glasses in.
Absolutely. Randy, put your glasses on. I just learned recently that Randy is supposed to wear glasses. And what do you do, Randy? You just don't wear them?
Initially, I only needed them to drive at night.
Uh-huh. Which you didn't do.
Which I didn't do, and I would only do it periodically.
Okay.
And I recently, a couple months ago, I went and got rechecked.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, you probably should wear these all the time, or more, at least more often than you are, and then... She was asking me if I wanted contacts or whatever, and I said, no, I'll just wear the glasses, and then I refused to wear the glasses.
Okay. All right. Terrific. Well, it sounds like you should just wear your glasses, but that's okay. We have Matt Didiano here, and he's a busy man because he's got houses to sell. So, Matt, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us the bio. What got you into real estate, how long you've had your license. You know, what's going on?
Sure. Got my license in October of 2023 and joined with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services shortly thereafter, based out of the Moon Township office, 1005 Beaver Grade Road. Look it up.
Fantastic.
Spent a lot of the first year just learning how to do paperwork, trying to be competent before I actually set my foot into it, but got interested in it after we started renting out our first house. Always liked homes and architecture, and this was just an easy way to make some contacts in the industry and ultimately kind of build up a side fund for when I hope to purchase some new properties in the future to rent out. So, yeah, that's kind of the interest where I got started. And there's a term, it's called being a secret agent. It's when you have your license, which is the easy part, but thereafter you don't really inform people of what you're doing. So out of necessity and, like I said, an abundance of caution to not look like a dipshit for the first year. I went to work and hit the books, learned how to do the paperwork, and I'm finishing up my MBA. So that said, Q4, we're hitting the ground running. I have a listing appointment in Mount Washington on Thursday, 10 a.m. And I have a property under contract in Cheswick, PA, a commercial property. So,
ooh, Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, we're doing a little bit of work right now and trying to just let people know that this is kind of where I'm at, what I'm doing now.
Fantastic. Wow. And a dad of two, how do you do it all?
I do not sleep. I annually, like once a year at the change of the season in the fall, I have to take prednisone. I call it being in the prednisone. I can't sleep. So I'm up until like 3 a.m. So yeah, currently on that. The first time that happened, I think I wrote out my whole commercial lease for the first property. So yeah, now I've just been kind of executing some deals and working on some marketing while I can't sleep.
Fantastic. And are there any are there particular regions that you specialize in?
Yeah, so if you wanted my preferable range, like 10 mile radius outside the city of Pittsburgh, but I'm going all over just because right now I'm not being picky and choosy with who comes down the line. Been leveraging my own kind of personal network, doing some door tags in the Greentree area. I'd love to become more active kind of in the South Hills. But yeah, I am all over Pittsburgh. So feel free, even if you're not in Pittsburgh, if you are in Pennsylvania, I do have access to the MLS in the state, can levy some expertise around how lending and how buying and selling works in this space. So reach out.
Fantastic. And also on the pod is a famous longtime homeowner, Upper St. Pen Hills, Randall Myers.
I'll say the longest time homeowner.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Randy, how long have you been in your home?
Since 2000, hold on, I got a photo somewhere. I'll be able to tell you the exact year. I think 2017. That might be too early.
I feel like Chez and I were still, weren't we still in college when
you maybe it in? Wasn't 17.
Because we helped you move, I think.
You did. Remember I rented that 24-foot box truck?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have a photo somewhere. I forget. It's been a long time.
And do you remember your interest rate?
So, John, I bought the house in 2014.
Wow, that's incredible.
April 11, 2014.
Good on
you. So my interest rate, yeah, 10 years. The interest rate was, I believe it's 2.7%.
That's absurd, first off. Second off, I can only think of one thing that I've been doing for 10 years, and I can't talk about it on this podcast. So 10 years, you've done anything for a decade, right? You know what I mean? That's insane, Randy. Well,
that's
done.
Incredible. That's an incredible.
It's been a long time.
Good on you. That's incredible. Well, it has been a long time, so I don't know that we'll be able to look to Randy for too many answers, but fortunately we have a professional Matt Zidiano here. So to start us off, can you give us an update on today's real estate market? What's the average buyer and seller facing out there?
Yeah, so if you are aware or watching current events, you've probably heard about some litigation against the National Association of Realtors. So there was a lawsuit that was levied either late last year or early this year. In any case, we've faced some legislative changes about the communication we need to engage in the buying and selling process, all kind of culminates in some more transparency for the buyer, an easier notice or an indication that everything in real estate is negotiable. If that's one thing you walk out of here today understanding thereafter, it's that everything is negotiable. If a real estate agent comes to you and says, hey, my commission is 3.5%, don't sweat it to say, hey, can you bring that down to 2.5% or 3%? Everything's negotiable. Randy also learned this in acquiring his ship, his little ship above the little shelf in his house. Did you really ask for that in the sale?
Yeah. When I decided I wanted to put an offer on the house, the realtor said that anything I saw in the house was fair game to put in the deal, whether that be the appliances, anything that was in here when I viewed it. Because I guess theoretically, the person selling the house could say, well, I'm taking the fridge with me.
Yep. So I mean, that is all, everything is fair game. Basically, you can identify that in section 491 of the ASR, the additional terms. You can ask for things that are not outright listed or include some statements of things that you think may or may not be listed. Most important thing at the end of the day is what is on the contract. So yeah, everything's negotiable. Ask about it when you do business with a realtor.
That's terrific. So in our audience, we have a pretty long or pretty wide mix of longtime homeowners, newer homeowners, and a few morally bankrupt people who still rent. So I'm wondering, what advice would you give to each of those three groups of people?
Okay, so I will just give some advice that is applicable to all three. One of the biggest things you can do for yourself in making a competitive offer is get pre-qualified for a loan or pre-approved for a loan before submitting an offer. There are basically a few things that you can use to strengthen your offer. The first is time to close. These aren't in any necessary order, but if you can close faster, generally it's better. You always want to do see if you can kind of match up the seller's timeline as a buyer. Whether they're motivated to sell quick or they need a few extra days on closing to kind of sell their own house and find another one. That's one thing. So match up your timeline. The second thing is your financing. Cash is king. If you can be a cash buyer, which almost nobody can, sign of the times, that's insane. You do see a ton of people losing out the cash offers from kind of big real estate investing firms, which is one of the things that I think whoever wins in 2024 is going to have to take a look at. We're not going to be able to compete with the anymore as normal people with 9-to-5s. So get pre-qualified for your loans. Hey, Tess.
a Tess appearance.
That's a hello.
All right.
Hi.
Hey,
Tess. Hi. You say hi to Uncle Randy, Uncle John.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Right. Oh, my Lord. Here we go. I should have locked this office door.
Hi. And there's James.
Hello.
Hey,
hi, Meg.
Cameos. Hi. What's up, guys?
Hi.
How's we got the whole doing? Family here.
Yeah.
Everybody get out.
Jeez. So we talked about kind of two strengthening conditions of your offer. I said your time to close, matching some conditions for the seller.
Bye.
Talked about getting pre-qualified. And finally, just making a good offer. She's going to sit in the back now.
Perfect.
Jimbo!
There you go, buddy. I love you all. Good night.
Say good night. Good night.
No, you're good. I love you. Thank you. Cameos for the fam. And the third is just making a good offer, and there are things on your offer called contingencies. So you can put in an offer contingent on having a home inspection, contingent on selling your home. I would never advise you to do anything you're uncomfortable with, but generally a strengthening condition would be the lack of contingencies on an offer as well. So three pieces of advice, take a look at those.
Incredible. So you mentioned, the issue of big corporations buying up homes. For someone who is like vaguely aware of that happening, but not totally understanding it, what's going on? Who's buying all this shit and why are they doing it? And how is it fucking us over?
Sure. So I am going to really quickly look up one of the more prominent companies. A lot of people say that is kind of like the master investor over a lot of different industries, and they're doing things like driving up homes. But basically, without naming any specific entity, actually, maybe cut that out. I don't think they're going to listen to this, but maybe cut that out. Bleep out their name. But by and large, what is happening is every schmuck who can work a fucking drill now thinks that they can flip a house. So you have people with cash taking single family homes off the market, flipping them and taking advantage of what's called forced appreciation. So they buy a depressed or distressed property, they put a little bit of money into it, and they sell it for 156% markup off of what they bought it for. So that's one thing. You're dealing with inventory that is less because a lot of people have their hands in the game. In addition to that, you talk about large investment firms buying up residential properties to cash in on either the flip or the rental market. That's also affecting your inventory, but they have more cash to play with than the average consumer, right? So these people that are losing out on homes to cash offers, there are times where it's just another buyer down the street from you potentially. But in some cases, many cases, it is people coming into an area with cash and just buying up properties for the residential flip. Are they screaming in the background?
No, it's good. It's just little.
This is working from home for the past 4 years, so
it's amazing.
Yeah, but yeah, you basically have inventory going down, which is causing prices to go up. So a lot of buyers, little inventory, prices go up.
Who is this Mr. you speak of?
Don't say his name three times, Randy. He will find you. He will find me. I just got this fucking license, please. Now, they're a large securities and investment firm, so.
Oh, so this is not a direct person like Mr. Marcellus.
I don't know. Some people might argue that it's the lizard people controlling the government that control this entity, but who am I? Who am I?
How many bottles of baby oil has this Mr.
I feel like you said it twice now, Randy. You said it twice. If, for the longevity of this podcast's sake, please don't say it again.
Oh, man. All right. I'll cut them all. Randy, let's focus on you a bit more. What's your long-term goal with your real estate? How long are you going to live in this house?
His house aside, Randy is sitting on the most expensive piece of real estate that any of us can conceptualize in Pittsburgh right now. It may not be his name personally. However, he is part owner of this entity.
I have nothing to do with that yet. We're 20, 15 years or whatever.
Totally. I don't believe it.
Get
a holiday in there in 3 weeks.
Oh my God. I would do it in a heartbeat. I don't really say, I wouldn't say I have a goal, John. It's just, well,
what's your plan? Do you have a plan?
So idea? Initially it was my mortgage and everything rolled into one was basically almost a wash as to what I was paying to rent,
mm-hmm.
other than like the upkeep and everything. And I just figure right now I have no kids. I'm not married. The school district's irrelevant to me. I mean, it's close to my dad's house. It's not far. It takes me 15, 20 minutes to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way home kind of sucks. But right now, no goal, no. I got nothing.
Yeah, okay. It's
a place to live. I only use about a third of it.
Okay. When am I going to get invited to your dad's other property again?
As long as we don't have a super spreader event again, we can go anytime you want.
Fantastic. All right. So next weekend at Hidden Valley, we'll be there. Thank you, Randy.
Okay. What variant is even out there?
Oh, We can't next weekend.
I'm kidding. Well,
I was going to announce it at the end, but since you already
jumped the gun.
Whatever. Next weekend, which is, am I right? Is that Saturday, October 19th?
Yes,
Saturday, October 19th. Swickley Fun Day, everyone. Mark your calendars.
Oh, okay.
It happens once a year, and Katie has decided with her supreme ability to weather forecast that it will be the perfect amount of crisp. Bring your children, bring your significant others. In my case, I'll pick Tom up. And get ready. It's going to be Swickley Fun Day. Let's have a blast, everyone.
Crisp is good.
Wow, what an announcement on the pod. That's huge. I'm putting it on my calendar right now. I will absolutely be there. Randy, any other real estate questions while we got them?
I got two for Matthew.
Oh, yeah, please, go ahead.
One isn't really a question. You know, I hate when it does this on the Zoom.
Why does it do that?
Like it's balloons. But Matthew, one is more of a direct statement. The other is a question.
Okay.
One, I was promised a magazine with your face on it, and I never received it.
Sure.
Where is this magazine?
Yeah, print is not what I am focusing on right now. You're in the database here, Randy. First issue of any magazine that has my face and branded material on it, you will be one to receive. So that is one piece of the answer.
It's all right, not fine. I'm in the database, but that leads me right into my next question.
Shoot.
With social media.
Yeah.
And stuff like Facebook and Instagram, you're getting a lot of former people you knew, acquaintances from high school saying why you should choose them as your realtor.
Yeah, sure.
So my question to you, Matt, is what separates you from Dan Plants? Why should I trust you over Dan Plans.
So you shouldn't trust me over Dan Plants. We actually both represent the same brokerage, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. We just do base ourselves out of different offices, operate in slightly different markets. I have not talked to Dan. I think it might be a good opportunity for us to connect after high school, I guess. But the only thing that I will say endorsing my brokerage is that we are a full service kind of one-stop shop. We have financial services, we have insurance services, we can buy, sell, we have agents internally that can help you rent properties or find rentals to occupy. I'm not going to say anything ill about Dan Plants. I will just say that we both
I'm just...
represent a very good
I guess that leads into my next question, Matthew.
Yeah,
for someone like John or Tom, someone that is not currently in the house hunting market, if they were to, what should they look for in a potential realtor? If not you, what should they look for in a potential realtor?
So experience is a big part of what you're looking for. And since I lack that, one of the things that you can look for is somebody who's a part of a successful team. So I have, you know, 7-8 individual agents behind me as a part of a team that basically any answer I can't provide to you, they are going to have it. They've experienced resolving it. So an agent on a team is generally going to afford you more resources than an individual agent. That's just speaking from my experience. And I am lucky to be part of a good team. Second thing is track record for good communication. I think the worst thing that you can do is kind of put yourself in a situation where you have an ongoing transaction and somebody's not communicating with you, kind of alleviating some of that anxiety throughout the process. Exists on both the buyer and the seller side. But as a first-time home buyer, you want to look for somebody who's going to communicate, somebody who has a track record for success, and ask questions about, hey, you know, how long are people or your buyers that you're representing generally out in the market for? An agent who's on top of that will be able to get you an answer pretty quickly about how long people have kind of been with them and been in the market. So, the final thing, I probably should have said this when you asked what some of the major or first tips were. Part of the litigation against the NAR is now the fact that you cannot enter a home with a realtor as a buyer unless you have some sort of signed and written agreement. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be contracted with that brokerage, but what it means is you minimally have to have a piece of paper saying there is no agreement here, right? And they do that, again, in an effort to further transparency between the buyer and their agent. So, you could end up in a situation without a written agreement where you owe multiple commissions, where somebody comes after you for a commission if you decide to rent after being in the market and realizing it's not your time to buy. There are multiple scenarios that you can avoid by just having some agreement in place with a brokerage. So anybody who's coming to the table that's willing to show you a property without anything like that in place is somebody that you do not want to be doing business with.
Well, that's really helpful information.
Yeah,
and you're on Instagram at Matt Didino Realtor. Is that
Matt Didino Realtor? Yes, sir.
Is that a good place for people to reach out to you?
Yeah, you can find me there. You can search my name on Google with a real estate agent or realtor. You'll be directed to kind of my Berkshire Hathaway page. Like I said, and one kind of precursor is anything that I say outside of the expertise that I'm expected to command as a real estate agent, it's not admissible, right? I'm not a financial planner. I am not a lawyer. So none of this constitutes legal or financial advice. I will say that. But I am a real estate agent. I am a competent one. I'm backed by an awesome brokerage and a successful team. So if you have questions, look me up.
Hell yeah. I love it. Checking out your Instagram, first of all, probably one of my favorite accounts on Instagram right now. Some really great stuff out there. And I click on your story and I see listing appointment in Mount Washington.
Yeah. Thursday I'll be doing that. But today I was checking out the property. So pretty cool. Happy to be more active.
Fantastic. And you got a little question here. What do you love about Mount Washington? I got to say the view, Randy. What about you?
I'd agree with you. The view, 10 out of 10.
Unbeatable.
You, but also bars and restaurants, very good nightlife there.
I have not had a single person say that was a draw on that poll yet. I'm surprised because I think Mount Washington is hopping.
I definitely think it is. I think the view is, I think that's the main thing though.
I think it's a big draw.
Yeah. Incredible. Well, thank you for walking us through all that. Randy, any other questions before we get back to
I'm all good. I just want to formally come out and apologize to Dan Plants. I meant nothing ill. I just meant like...
Well, yeah, there's... You know. There's a lot of options, and
there's just options.
How do you figure it out? Yeah.
Well, Randy, you're gonna have an opportunity to say hello and sorry to him yourself. Dan Plants, get in here, man! Come on, let's go. Surprise guest.
Thought it was gonna be Steve Bush again.
We could probably get Dan on here. Maybe we just become a real estate podcast.
Hey.
Everyone's doing it, man. Do something else.
Oh man. All right. Well, that's it. Let's skip back to fantasy football a little bit. No mail time this week. Didn't get any during the off week.
Come on, guys.
It's all good. We took a week off, but if you do have any thoughts about the real estate market, if you have any memorable realtor stories, anything you want to let us know, you can hit us up at superfantasyfootballshow@gmail.com. Hey, this is John coming to you after we finished recording. Because we did that a day early, we didn't get a chance to include this important message from the commish regarding some trade rules. So wanted to make sure we get that in this episode. I'll play that right after this.
Mail time, mail time, mail time!
This is a note from the desk of the commissioner. Effective immediately, I have decided to amend Rule 12, Subsection 15, Paragraph 92 to determine what will effectively be called the Randy Rule. Going forward, no teams will be able to trade future draft picks beyond two future drafts. For example, effective immediately, no team would be able to trade picks beyond the 2026 fantasy draft. This rule will not affect any existing trades. All will stand, but will be implemented for all future trades. Ultimately, the decision was determined to be passed by me after looking long term. Not having this rule abuses too many years into the future, creating an unfair competitive advantage for single teams. I know we voted on this a little bit ago, but I decided to implement it as each year it's further gone into the future and becomes unsustainable for the long-term future of the Superfans Fantasy Football League. I talked to Randy in person 2 Saturdays ago about this with no objection, as he would be the only one that would be really negatively impacted going forward. And after holding those discussions, I have decided to pass the rule now. Thanks.
Let's see what else we... Oh, I want to talk SRK a little bit, because that's coming up.
Oof.
That's like a month away, almost exactly.
Almost.
That's crazy. I'm excited. Randy, you sent me a place on Instagram. What was it, like Dumpling Palace?
Oh, the Dumpling Palace, yes.
Tell us a little bit about that place.
It looked pretty good. A bunch of different soup dumplings. I'm bringing up the video now. Oh, it's called Dumpling District.
Ooh, okay.
And it features a wide variety of soup dumplings, including their pan-fried buns, their wontons, the shumai, pot stickers.
Ooh.
And, ooh, they got what looks like a scallion pancake burrito that looks phenomenal. It's in Pentagon City. I'm not exactly sure where that is in Arlington.
Okay, I think...
Yeah. My algorithm is now showing me restaurants in like the DC area. I don't know how it knows.
I feel like we should probably do dinner reservation for Saturday night.
That would be wise.
Do you agree? And then we're planning on tailgating there, right? That's going to That's going to happen. Randy, what's
tailgating on Sunday?
Do they have a tailgating scene?
So around the stadium, there's nothing. There's like a TGI Fridays, a Chili's, a Walmart. We're more than welcome to go.
What do you mean nothing, Randy? You've listed three. Those are three valid options.
Hey, the triple dipper at Chili's, I'm in.
A rotisserie chicken and a 36-pack from Walmart? Come on.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot surrounding the stadium So I figured since it's a trip within driving distance, this would be a good time. We'll bring the tailgate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't got to go crazy, but...
Yeah. And then, like, hang out there after the game, too? Is that what you're thinking?
Hang out after. Yeah, whatever we want to do.
Cool.
The world is our oyster.
That sounds good. And is that a 1 o'clock game? I can't remember.
I just looked this up. I think it is a... In my head, I'm thinking it was a 4 o'clock, but I could be wrong. I mean, I was just looking at it the other day. Yeah. No, it is a 1 o'clock game, November 10th, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, okay. All right. Interesting. That'll be a good time. And we have a ticket czar, which I'm relieved that someone is... I just wanted someone to be on top of it so it didn't slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
And I think Chez is going to do a great job of it. But, yeah. We'll be in good shape. And Kyle's officially coming.
Piece of
DC. I was in. Let's go.
Here's a piece of DC trivia. If anybody's in, I know Commissioner Glancy is a big cocktail guy. Mm-hmm. Anybody happen to know the signature cocktail of DC?
No.
Randy?
Is it like the Watergate Sour or something?
Interesting take. I hesitate to call anything that's just liquor and a garnish and soda water a cocktail. However, the official cocktail of DC is apparently the Gin Ricky, named after Democratic lobbyist Colonel Joe Ricky.
Interesting.
What's in a Gin Ricky?
Yeah.
Gin, lime juice, and soda water. That is pretty much it. Garnished with lime, generally.
Okay.
Sounds just a gin and soda?
Yeah, it's just a gin and soda. I don't really know how you, I think served in a highball, potentially. Maybe that's a gin and tonic. Maybe this is served in some sort of flared glass of sorts. Yeah, if you're in the market for cocktails, that is apparently the one to have there. I have to say this. I'm going to wish it into existence.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest chance we've had thus far of running into a celebrity who's not an athlete has been in Vegas. We saw Lil Wayne from a distance, as we all know. However, I hope that we run into Tony P in DC. Anyone seen this guy?
Tony P, no.
Look him up.
He's called Tony P in DC.
Is that the guy that took our picture outside the Raiders stadium?
No. Tony P is a young bachelor living in D.C., and he posts about his normal life in Washington, D.C., posts about what he wears, what he does in his leisure hours. He's just a normal guy with an immense following on Instagram, and I hope we run into him. Tony P, if you're listening.
Randy, can you let me share my screen here?
Oh, yes. I always forget how to do this, John. You make me feel like an idiot every time.
Well, just don't.
I think it worked.
Yeah, let's see here. There we go. Okay. Desktop 2. All right. And share sound. All right. Here we go. Is this Mr. Tony P?
That's my man. Tony P, baby.
Amore. When the world sees. When the moon hits your eye like
pizza pie, that's amore.
Is it all, does he ever speak in them?
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, here's one. Let's try this one.
Hey folks, so we are coming to the end of National Recovery Month here in September, and it's a very special month for me because recovery and addiction has had a direct impact on my life and those very close to me. So I wanted to share a few thoughts as well as some words of
encouragement. Pull up a very serious post. Usually he's talking about ironing his pants and shit.
Welcome to this late edition of Music Monday here on WTPN. We have a special song for you from the Prince of Soul, the DC icon himself, Marvin Gaye. We're going back to 1968 and his classic hit, I Heard It Through the Grapevine. Now, this song is an acclaimed soul.
And he's just a guy?
He's just a guy.
He just lives in DC and
Yeah.
Talks about it.
Classic.
Yeah, look at the eyebrows on that guy.
It was ranked number one on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1968 and 1969, and was actually ranked at number 81.
All right. Well, he's got a pretty distinguishable face, so I think we could do it.
We could spot those eyebrows from a mile away. I'll send him a DM once I figure out what lot we're in for the tailgate.
Yeah, it looks like
he wears his suit a lot. And we'll bite him. We'll bite Tony P.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. Get a local celebrity to take us around. I'd love it. Okay. All right, we'll keep our eyes peeled for that. All right, well, let's get to next week's games, fellas. How about that? I was going to try to keep this under 45 minutes. And
hey, real quick, before you get to that, Johnny, has anyone else received their patch from Commissioner Glancy for this year's trip?
I have not. I haven't seen him since the golf outing, I think.
So I got my patch last weekend.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, last weekend. I already got it sewn on the jersey. Looks phenomenal.
Okay.
I just paid David for my Fantasy Dudes End patch about 5 minutes ago. So, David, if you're listening, check your Venmo account. John, if you fronted the living accommodations, just send me a request. Very forgetful.
You got it. No problem.
The patch is a little big, boys.
He said that. So.
It's quite substantial.
They've gotten to be pretty sizable, but I think that's fine.
What happens when we start running? And I know people have different approaches. For example, I think it's Ramsey who does the, or is that you, Dylan, does the single Velcro on the?
I do the single chest. Velcro. Yeah.
I am eventually going to run out of real estate, and I'm wondering what I do at that point. Am I able to select a new jersey at that point?
Oh, that could be an interesting rule.
So me and David were talking about this on the car ride up to Penn State about the idea of once you fill up a side of the jersey, that you should be able to retire that jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
And get another one.
I love it.
Is Kyle aware of how psycho we are about this?
If he doesn't have a white jersey, I get the hell out of here.
Have we told him to select the jersey yet?
Randy, did you?
I did not. I was hoping one of you guys, maybe Chez, took the bull by the horns on that.
How did we get him on the horn?
You know what? Tom has no job for the trip every year. Tom, you are in charge of Kyle this year.
Tom, get a jersey for Kyle, will ya?
You're in charge of Kyle, Tom. That's the only thing you got to worry about.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you, Tom, for handling that. We're calling him up right now. Here we go.
I want to put him on the spot. Can you think he can name one past Steeler?
He's probably taking a picture of his wife, and he's not in it.
Oh, my God, Dick. Jamie, edit that out.
It seems you haven't reached Kyle Chasso. You need your name and number. I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Bye-bye.
He does not say fucking bye-bye.
I think something's wrong.
I know he'll never listen to this. I feel like it's like picking up a drama series. It's like watching Breaking Bad like in its final season before the final season starts. You know what I mean? It's daunting.
Bye-bye.
So I guess, say what you want about him, Randy.
Oh, man. That is too fucking funny. All right. Let's get into next week's games real quick before we run too much longer. Let's start off with what's going to be a good matchup. Let's say Running Fools versus the Technical Fouls.
There's no projection yet.
Oh yeah, I guess this could be a little tough. Without,
I say you just go with your gut.
Just go with your gut. I like it. Well, I think that's pretty easy because I think I've been pretty open. I'm not loving how the Technical Fouls have been playing. I think the Fools are a lot stronger of a team, having a bit of a down week. So I'll keep it short and simple. I'm taking the Running Fools in this one.
I'm gonna tell you, Johnny, with my gut, I said it last week, I'm gonna continue. After he finishes the job and defeats Oink this week, the technical fouls remain the team of destiny. I think they roll in to, what is this, coming week six?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they keep that train rolling on down to San Antonio. They're just going to they're gonna run over the running fools.
All right, Matt, what do you think?
We're muted. No disconfirming. I think it's hard to bet on anybody. But the wait, hold on. Say that one more time. The Fools versus?
Fools versus the technical fouls.
Hard to bet against the technical fouls. Wanted to make sure that I was correct there.
Well, all right. We'll see what happens there. Next, let's move over to Altman & Sons Incorporated versus Oink. And Altman & Sons, remind me, Randy, are they about to win this week?
Altman & Sons are.
Yep, they're putting the.
Yeah, they're going to win this week against Hawktua.
So they'll be 2-3. Oink, also probably about to be 2-3. Man, this one's tough. I gotta say, Altman & Sons, they've been putting up some points the past few weeks. They've looked pretty good. I think they've gotten unlucky with matchups. I think their luck continues this week. Altman & Sons Incorporated over Oink. Randy.
Listen, Altman & Sons, they're 1-3 as of us recording this podcast. They're going to move to 2-3. You got to stain some glass, John, before you can build a cathedral. And that's exactly what Altman & Sons is doing right now. They are staining that glass. And next week, who are they even playing? Jesus Christ. Oh, they're playing Hawktua this week. They're stained glass against Hawktua.
Yeah.
And they're going to start building that cathedral against Oink as they try to assert themselves back into the upper echelon of the league and get themselves back into contention.
Okay. Wow. Wow. All right. Matthew, what do you think?
I don't know why. I don't really have a rationale behind this. However, I love the name Oink so much, and I don't know where it came from. I have no data to base this decision on, but it gets the people going. I'm going with Oink.
Oh man. I don't blame you. They're a pretty strong team also. I think the injury bug was hurting them earlier. I don't know where they're at right now with that. I think they've got a few players back. So yeah, should be a good matchup. I'm looking forward to that one, but not as much as this next game. The Battle of the Pod, the Iron City Oliphants versus the Real American, Randy Myers. Randy, God willing, I will be 5-0 after this week, and you're probably going to be 1-4, I'm guessing. I'm rooting for you.
Maybe.
We'll see. I got a few injuries coming up. I really, really got fucked this week. Devon Achain went down along with Nico Collins in the middle of the games. But you know what? My team, they're a bunch of dogs. I got two people coming off by. I think I'm going to keep you in the basement. And I don't think it's going to be particularly close.
I can't say I disagree with you, John, but let's put a little wager on it. Why don't we?
Okay, yeah. What do you want to do?
Similar to last year. I think we did this. I don't remember if it was with me and you. I don't remember if it was with you and the technical fouls. Loser of the game has to sing the national anthem on the podcast.
Ah, no. I hated that. I want to do something different.
All right, what do you want to do?
That is so low stakes. I can't believe you're so opposed.
I've shaved my head bald for the pod. You've sang the national anthem. What do you want to do? How do you stop the ante?
Let's think about it, and we'll post it. We'll post it in Discord.
We'll circle back. But I like you in this week, John. I'm not going to lie. I like you. And I think it sets up the perfect week 7 matchup for me.
And what would that be?
It would be the Real American versus Hawktua for the Battle of the Basement.
Oh man. Well, that brings us next to. Oh wait, we got to get to Matt's take on the Battle of the Pod. What do you think, bud?
Ooh, Randy with the nose. I'm gonna go Randy as the winner here.
Oh, okay, not wise, but yeah, I'll take it.
I'm not basing anything on data. This is all gut. This is all feeling. This is all what I'm sensing in the room.
That's gambling, baby. I love it. All right, let's get to our game of the week. Hawk Tua versus Denny Irvine's Gatorade.
Game of the week.
0-5 Hawk Tua probably versus 4-1 Denny Irvine. That's gonna be tough. But you know what?
Potentially four and one. They could be 4-2.
I've said before though, Hawk Tua, they can pack a punch every once in a while, Randy. We've seen it happen. What do you think about this matchup, Rando?
You know, John, I've said it for many weeks now. On paper, yes, my team is shit. It's in last place, tied with Hawk Tua. But I still believe, on paper, that the Real American and Hawk Tua are a better team than Denny Irvine's Gatorade. And I think this is the week Hawk Tua goes out and proves it. I'm taking Hawk Tua in a thriller.
Okay.
Unbelievable. Okay. I have absolutely no faith in this team or its leadership anymore. My world is crumbling. At one point, I said I was only going to go to one fantasy league out of sheer embarrassment over my last 14 games. I'm not betting on myself. Pete Rose should have taken that advice. Don't bet on yourself. Rest in peace, Pete Rose, by the way. It's a crime for the Baseball Hall of Fame to even issue a statement about his death. And if they posthumously induct him, I think that would be an insult to his legacy.
Wow.
So, thank you, Charlie Hustle. Rest in peace, Pete.
So you feel because he wasn't inducted while he was alive, he shouldn't be inducted?
I think you don't get to change your stance
to
try and be the good guy after someone passes away, after you dogged him for so many years.
Yeah.
His stats are undeniable. In my memory, I can't remember the last player manager who was in the league. That's astounding in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Undeniable talent, undeniable hard worker. And the best thing that I saw about him after he passed away, I can't remember which analyst or sportscaster made this tweet, but it rings true. It said, I think Pete Rose played the game the way that we all would have had we had the chance. And I don't know any words that would be more of an honor to hear about yourself if you could hear them after. So pretty neat stuff.
Absolutely beautiful. RIP to Pete Rose. That's tough. Rando, any thoughts on Pete Rose?
I kind of agree with everything Matt said. I see nothing wrong with what Matt said, and I full-heartedly agree.
I feel like the Baseball Hall of Fame has taken a really weird moral stance on some players. I don't really understand. Like, are we pretending that Barry Bonds wasn't an incredible home run hitter?
Thank you.
Even though he did steroids?
Yeah. Let him do it. I want to see guys with size 9 hats on the field.
Yes.
Now, make them Minotaurs with spiked bats, slugfest style. I want to see superhuman freaks out there hurting people in the stands with home run balls.
Why not? Why aren't we doing this? Why are we putting these stupid fucking rules on?
There's no place for morality in sports anymore. I think that we are going to eventually, look upon ourselves as the idiocracy type people that we see in that movie. Looking for entertainment over everything at all costs.
Yep.
That's what I want. That's the world I one day want to live in.
Absolutely. Rando, you had your hand up.
Just one time I got in trouble. I believe it was 10th grade. There was an English teacher named Miss Burkett. She was an older lady.
Uh-huh.
We had to write like a paper, and I actually wrote this paper. Not like other papers, but I wrote a paper once and I stood in front of the class and presented it, and she gave me detention after because she said I did not take the project seriously. We had to like pick an argument and then like we had to like write about it and like fight for that argument. And my argument was that professional athletes should be allowed to use steroids, and she berated me.
Wait, hold on. You're advocating for somebody to inject themselves with a substance that we don't know whether it's safe or not? Randy, how dare you?
For the benefit of my viewing experience, yes.
In this day and age, how dare you? I love that John is frozen on a laugh on my screen.
I wish I could read that paper that you submitted to Ms. Burkett. That
if I still had that Windows XP computer, I'd find it.
It's probably the last paper you wrote.
Probably.
All right.
What grade was that?
I think 10th grade.
Well, we know you didn't write it in 12th grade per the story you tell us over and over again.
Absolutely not. Got away with it. Out of 365 days, I got 364 of them.
A real talent. A real talent.
That's our show for the week. Best of luck to everyone this week, except for Randy. This has been a Super Fantasy Football show. We'll be back next week. And until then, I'll see you in the Froggies.
Take us out, Glow City!